Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to my show. I am Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and this is a place I like to bring topics I find others are experiencing and may wish for a frank discussion of tips and solutions to improve and inspire their lives. We have a full range of topics from death and health to dating and cookies. Just check out our archives. I grew up asking why in all areas of my life, and it is something I still live by today. My guests and I talk about a topic in casual conversation so you, the listener, can feel like you are across the table from us with a coffee or tea. I welcome you, the listeners, and I hope to answer some of your questions as I speak with the guest of the day. If you would like to call into the show, I welcome you to dial 424-258-9318 and then push 1 so I could see that you wish to speak on the show. I would also encourage you to follow my show page, and you will know what I will be touching on next and when my next show will be. So now it is time to share with you and start the show. At the beginning of each show, I started the past month or so to share with you companies that I recently found that helped me. Today, we will be speaking about ImmunoViva. It really helped me increase my intake of omega-3, 6, and 9 oils. Everybody knows about omegas these days. It's all over the newspaper. It's on television. You can't go anywhere without seeing it. And it really helped me because it did not have shellfish or a seafood origin. I'm highly allergic, so that's very important. It is ImmunoViva, a seed oil company in the northern U.S. So it's not something in the other side of the country where you don't know really what you're getting. You know, we know the seeds of fruits and vegetables are nature's perfect defense system. Their powerful antioxidants protect the plant's DNA from environmental stresses, bacteria, fungal attack, and disease. And ImmunoViva has found a way to harness the full potential of those seeds and deliver it to you in supplements, powders, and oils that are nutrient-dense without fillers and mystery ingredients. The raw ingredients in ImmunoViva are literally the seeds of nature, and they are processed in their purest form, so they retain much of their natural powder. I can also tell you they are not done with any chemicals. They are not done with excessive heat. This is all done with a cold press, so they are definitely very potent. The result of most powerful antioxidant activity on the market today, it provides a natural power for immune support. Everybody is looking for immune support. That's also all over the media. Blueberries, raspberries, cranberries, pomegranates, and grapes. We all know they're naturally high in antioxidants, but their seeds are where the real power lays. I have found for powerful and comprehensive immune support, their one flagship product is called Core. And Core is made from cold-pressed black cumin and black raspberry seeds. It's loaded with antioxidants. It's rich in omega-3 and 6 essential fatty acids, and it actually has dozens of different types of antioxidants, including multiple types of vitamin E. And everybody keeps asking me how powerful is it, because they use all kinds of different products that have been on the shelves forever, or maybe I'll just eat my food and I'll get all my vitamins and nutrients. Well, consider this. It takes 16 pounds of raspberries to get just 1 teaspoon of seed oil. I found that was very important for me because I needed something that had great potency and something that wasn't over-diluted with all these other items that I really didn't need. It was very concise in what its function was. If you have any issues with your joints or would like to move better without strain and pain and movement, they also have another product. It's called Ease. I take both every day. If you'd like to ask me, you can always email me. My website, Contact Us page, is located on the show page description, or you can check out immunoviva.com for more information. I know these products work. I have them all the time, and I also give them to my children. So it's definitely something that would be worth looking into. Today, my guest is Dr. Linda Clever, the founding president of Renew, which she will explain to us what that program is all about. And she is also the author of The Fatigue Prescription, which describes 4 steps to renewing your energy, health, and life. Keep in mind, this is not a new drug or a new therapy, you know, for fatigue. And it's not a magic pill, you know, you get instant results. And on the first page, you're going to say, oh, yes, you have fatigue. And in the middle, you're going to say, oh, okay, we have this test done. And on the third page, next, you're going to say, this is a drug to take. This is not at all what that is about. Dr. Clever's book is a handbook for walking through the steps to begin taking back your life, even when you have the extreme fatigue that you feel like you just can't get out of. So welcome to the show, Dr. Clever.
Thank you. And it's a pleasure to be with you, Dr. Gallagher.
Thank you so much for being our guest today. You know, I really found that it was so important to talk about fatigue since everybody seems to be having issues with that these days.
Well, you know, there's fatigue and there's fatigue. And this is the kind that I'm talking about is the kind where you're doing so much and you kind of know that it's way too much and it doesn't seem like it's enough. That's one kind of fatigue. Another kind of fatigue is going from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. Your calendar is really successful because it's so full, but you're not feeling very full. You're feeling kind of empty because all of the activities may not really have much basic meaning to you. And we can all get in that situation because we say yes so much because we want to please people or whatever it might be. But I'm not talking about the kind of fatigue that comes with, you know, clinical depression where someone really needs medical care and counseling and medication and so forth. I'm not talking about that sort of clinical situation. I'm really talking about a life situation.
And that is so different. And how did you even get started even talking about this? I just have finished your book, and you put a lot of personal experience in here, how this even came about for you to even look to this, because you are an MD, and we all know what we all think, MDs are going to give you drugs and you're going to be fine, right? But you seem to take this in such a different area that something else to look at, and so many people don't even know to ask their doctor, could this be an issue, you know, or should I be doing something else for myself?
Well, that is an interesting thing. I must say that I think most everybody would like a quick fix and a pink pill, and it just turns out that life is too complicated for that. My story, my interest, my professional interest, my training is in internal medicine and infectious diseases, community medicine, and occupational health. So I'm very interested in how life and work and health interact. And I've never noticed that a person really can leave their life at home and really can't leave their work at work. There's quite a bit of sloshing over. And so most people can't focus that completely, although some can. What happened to me was along the way, you know, life happens. And my mother died, and right after that, our house was burglarized and vandalized, and things that she had given me were destroyed and taken. And I lost 2 jobs that I loved, not because of merit, but because of all the things that were happening in healthcare. And my father died, and then my husband, who's also an internist, was diagnosed with carcinoma of the prostate, and he's fine now. But all of that happened in 18 months, and it was just flattening. Our daughter, who's also an internist, stayed well, and that was, of course, a blessing and a relief in all ways, as you would know as a parent too. However, I just found that I was, as I said, flattened. And so finally, when I was able to kind of up periscope and look around, I saw a lot of my colleagues and a lot of other kinds of people were tired. And it could be because of overwork or overwhelm or grief, or, you know, another thing that really gets people tired is boredom. Sometimes you've been doing something for so long that it just loses its zip and zing, and you think that you're in a groove, and actually you're in a rut. So there are all kinds of things that can kind of drain away your energy. And so with the help of other colleagues and friends, I started Renew, which is a not-for-profit, and started listening very, very carefully to people who were contending with life and, you know, kind of trying to stay at the top of their game. You can't always be at the top of your game, but there are some ways to be at the top of your game as much as possible. And so as I listened and listened and learned and then wrote and wrote, that was the process.
You know, so many times I can remember for myself, people would always say, you know, you got to be careful about, you know, burning the candle too long or whatever. And they'd say, you know, you're burning it from both ends. And I'd say, I didn't know a candle had two ends. You know, and that's when I recognized, okay, you know, how many times are we going to go down this road and be overwhelmed? And I know when after Hurricane Katrina here and, you know, and coming to this state and about practicing here or not, we definitely did find that, you know, we had a little bit too much in exactly a year and a half also. And it definitely can flatten you. And so I think it happens the best of us. I don't think it's just you can look and say, well, you know, I figured it would happen to them or it'll never happen to me or, oh, I don't see that happening to you, when really it could be anybody.
Well, I think that we've got all kinds of proof of that. And long, long ago, the Greeks said, never count a man happy until the day he dies, because a lot can happen along the way. And I think it means it's kind of as if we need to have a storehouse of truths about ourselves and a storehouse of tips and ideas and solutions. Most of us really only make important changes when there's a crisis, and we understand that we really do, because you kind of like comfort. Bill Walsh, who the truly, truly great football coach, said you have to get out of the comfort zone. But the trouble is, it took so long to get into the comfort zone that you really don't want to get out of the comfort zone.
Right.
However, just to know that there are some things that we can do to make every day a better day, and then if something should happen, which it may not, but it may well, to have some of those capabilities and some of those thoughts and some of those skills kind of in a storehouse that we can tap into a reservoir of our own energy and our own beliefs, that's what we're talking about.
And, you know, no one is taught that in school, or no one is really taught that in a family. It's just supposed to be expected that everybody understands that and knows that. And you think, wait a minute, where did that, you know, maybe I didn't pay attention to that, or where was I supposed to pick that up? Who even thinks about sitting down and saying, what is important in my life? Who does that anymore, you know? Except now people are starting to change, and they are starting to ask those questions. You know, I can remember when I went to college in the 70s, it was like, here's what you're going to go do it, sign here. I went and did it. And I did that for like 30 years. And I was a dental hygienist. I can remember doing it every day. And it's like, I can do this in my sleep. I can now clean someone's teeth in my sleep, and I can tell you if they're done right or not. You know, and you wonder, you lose so much of yourself, but then you're doing along this mechanistic thing every single day, too. You know, so
well,
when things happen.
It's true. And so the idea, I mean, one idea, when people who are specialists in behavior change, one of the things that they do is suggest, for example, that somebody put a rubber band around their wrist. And when they're feeling bored or when they're feeling sad or when they're feeling whatever kind of starts them in a cascade going downhill, you snap the rubber band. And say, wait a minute, you know, just here's a bit of a wake-up call. And so one of the things that we've found, just a couple of very basic things, that most people are fueled, have growth in their energy, when they're doing something that means something to them, something that has meaning to them. And one way of figuring that out is to try to figure out what your values are. And your values, you know, are basically how you decide what's good and bad, how you decide what's right and wrong, what you admire in other people, ways that you want to be, and to think about your values and then and write them down. And then the question is, well, am I living my values? And so people might say, well, my parents are important to me. My children are important to me. My voting intelligently is important to me. Well, am I doing that? Am I in touch with who I need to be in touch with? Am I learning things I need to learn? Am I paying attention? Or am I racing around on 12 different committees or working, you know, 30 hours of overtime a week? And it's more like spinning the wheels than being engaged in life. And I know that these days the economy is so much on people's minds that sometimes people have to work 2 and 3 jobs in order to stay above the water level, whichever water it is, whether it's Sandy or right. Katrina or economics. On the other hand, somehow we have to build some strength and pleasure into our life because it is not selfish to take care of yourself. If you're not okay, nobody's okay. And that means it could mean 20 minutes of reading a book. It could be 15 minutes of exchanging massages with each other. It could be going out of your way to make a carrot drink. It could be you have to take care of yourself because if you're not okay, nobody's okay.
Well, I do know that in your book, you have several pages here, and to everybody that would like to know, the fatigue prescription is a workbook. So there are pages in here where you fill the spaces in, which is really great because some books, they can keep going on and on and on, and you're like, okay, I don't remember what happened 20 pages ago. But when it's a workbook, if you've written something in there, you can go back to that. And where it talks about little pleasures that keep me going, and, you know, I found after a lot of loss, that was the best thing we say about change, you know, it's a really big change in the way you think. When you have a really big loss, like we'll use, again, the only reference I have is Katrina right now, but when you have nothing, you are so happy for when that refrigerator turns back on, you know, and you are so appreciative that you have a washing machine again. You know, when you think, how did I do it for so long with no washing machine? Where probably prior to that, I can say if my machine was out for 5 or 6 hours, I was one of these women was like, are you serious? Are you not kidding me? You're not going to come right now to fix it. And then after the Katrina, it was like, if you get here, you get here. If you don't, you don't. So what if the clothes pile up? And it just is not that important anymore. So really it's the emphasis of what is really important to you and getting to those core values and, you know, what makes you feel better. What is a pleasurable thing?
Well, it is true. And I have a wonderful friend who was in this kind of stuck situation. And he enjoyed his job, kind of, but wasn't really high on it. And so one of the things he did was he said, I am going to think of something wonderful that happened every day. And he did that, and he said, it changed my life. And, you know, people talk about gratitude and so forth, which is essentially what he was talking about. What wonderful, you know, it could be seeing a daffodil. It could be seeing a baby. It could be hearing your favorite song or reading a favorite poem or somebody smiled. It could be the littlest thing, but if you let that be wonderful, then some wonderful things will happen every day, even in the midst of literally disaster or death or difficult times. There is some spark of kindness. There is something. And if that's part of the quest, you will find it. I think that happiness is not the quest. Happiness is a result of living your values, because when you live your values, then you have meaning, and that gives you joy. So finding, though, these moments of brightness along the way can give you a real lift up and forward.
You know, I'm one of those parents that my kids, when they went away to college and stuff, every night I got in the habit of looking up to find the moon, and I would text them, "It's a full moon. Oh, there's no moon. Oh, I see 5 stars." And no matter where they were, they would go outside and they would text me back whatever they saw. And that just got to be such a connection, and it was so simple, but that's what made that lightness of our days. So I think when people say, "Well, I have to go find it, I got to go do something, you know, or I need to go buy something," and it's like, no, how simple is that? Look outside, you know?
And see what's happening. One of my favorite people has a house that has windows that face a mountain. We live in California, and the windows face a mountain. And this a couple years ago, it snowed, and he was so busy going from his bedroom to his kitchen that he didn't look out the windows. He missed the whole snowfall on the mountain.
Yeah.
He felt bad about that. You know, he recovered, obviously. But there is almost time to notice someone. Or something. I was driving along one time, and I know I was concentrating on something, and I happened to look to my left, and there was a fellow driving his car, and he held up a sign in his window, and it said, "Smile." Well,
yes.
No kidding. I've never seen him again. It was a wonderful moment. So sometimes, it's the simple things, and it isn't necessarily a pill. There's certainly times when you have to take medication, but so much of life is finding, you know, our own solutions.
And I think also too, when you go about your day and how many people have driven down the street and they're so tired when you sit at a red light, you're like ready to fall asleep. You know, and sometimes I would like turn and look at the other people next to me. And at one time I saw a lady sitting in her car with our windows all rolled up and she was crying.
Oh, dear.
And it was like, okay. So that's maybe something that I should start paying attention and noticing. And, you know, from there I started taking a rest. I started paying attention. Do you yell at your kids or anything? Or how do you feel today? So I think there's little signs out there. People just need to be alert to them. But when you're so overtired or you're fatigued in life and everything, you really can't notice those signs.
Well, one of the things that we found, actually four of the things I would say that we found, as part of the fatigue prescription, as it were, which is 4 steps to renewing your energy, health, and life, is the 4 very specific steps. And the first one is just what you're talking about, which is to be aware of what's going on around you. How are you doing? How is your partner doing, your spouse? How are your children? How is your neighbor doing? How's your neighborhood doing? How's your country doing? How's it going? How's it feeling? So not just to be on kind of robo-automatic pilot, rather to open your eyes and open your heart and see how things are going. So that's the first step. The second step is to think about it, to reflect on how did this happen? How did I get so busy? How come I stopped exercising? I used to exercise. What happened? Why? What happened? What happened with my relationship? I wonder what I could do to make a difference. Who might I talk to? Who might I go to? Who are my allies? Again, how did this happen and what might be the next step? So that's reflecting. So the first is awareness. The second is reflecting. The third is something we don't do very much, which is have some conversations. And conversations is like what you and I are doing, or what you do over tea, or what you might do over coffee, or, you know, maybe a bowl of oranges or a hot fudge sundae, is to talk with someone you love and or respect and or has some good ideas. They don't have to be it could be a child, it could be a counselor, it could be a friend, it could be a colleague. What do they think, and how are they, you know, bounce some ideas around, because you don't have to have every idea in the world. Somebody else has been in a spot like this, or somebody else is concerned or worried or wonders about this. Bounce some ideas, get some new ideas. It's like not just shuffling your cards, it's like adding new cards to your deck. Then, that's the third step, is conversation. And then you go back and forth and you think some more and you reflect some more and you become aware because of the conversation. And it becomes finally time to think about, well, what am I going to change if I need to? Maybe everything's perfect. Well, then how do we keep it perfect? Maybe, though, I need to go and take a course or change fields or maybe end a relationship or maybe start a relationship. So start making some plans and then take some actions so that by the time you get ready actually to do it and you do it, it's more like stepping off of a curb instead of jumping out of an airplane with no parachute. Because sometimes change can, sometimes you just have to do it fast, no question about it. The flood's there, the death is there, you have to cope, no question. And then sometimes you can also, even in those situations, can do some planning and thinking and acting in a way that's rather dignified and graceful because you've put some thought into it.
You know, so many times when we say conversation, we end up speaking with others who we believe at that time might have our best interest at heart. And through the conversation, if you had a completed step, the other step about reflection, when you go to have those conversations with those people, it may start to rear your head up pretty quickly that, yikes, have I really been interacting with these people who may not be in my best interest, or have I interacted with them and I was not, you know, in complete being the best person also. So maybe that conversation may bring out a lot of stuff from before, but that's things that you look at.
And that's okay. And that brings in a very interesting point. One is, which you've just said, one is there are some relationships that are more draining than they are building. And I actually have a friend who got into a tough situation in her life. Her husband was sick. Her business was not going well. And she said, you know, I have to stop seeing people who drain me. I can't be the one who props them up all the time. I've got to be very careful about who I'm seeing, because I need some refilling right now. She said, we may be able to start up again with the other people, but I have to be very, very careful about that. The other part of it is in any conversation or any situation, or again, you may be learning something or reading the newspaper or taking a class or going, whatever, is we need to pay attention to our instinct, to our gut, because your gut is really where a whole lot of truth is. And for some people, that's faith, and some people don't call it that because they call it their gut or their instinct or faith or whatever it might be. But it is your inner truth, your inner core that says, wait a minute, this isn't sounding right. Or,
right.
You know, the last time they said that, they didn't do that, so I better be more careful. Just exactly as you say. Sometimes the more busy we get or the more educated we get, we forget our basic biology and our basic instinct and our own wisdom. And we really have to go back to paying attention to ourselves.
Well, so many times, too, we have a conversation with someone else and we come out of it and we say, oh, boy, that person was really overpowering and I'm not going to do that. How dare they tell me? When maybe if you look back at a different time when you had a conversation with them, you may have been that perpetrator that had done that. So it could be a two-way street of draining. Maybe both of you need to take a step back, which a lot of times that does alter your relationships.
It's true, or you know, or just go on holiday, because that's one of the things also everybody needs to do, and which also seems like an odd thing to say, perhaps during an economy like ours, except that it's been shown in many different ways that when people take a little time off, and it could be just 2 or 3 hours, or it could be to walk around the block, or it could be, you know, a long weekend, they come back and are able to have new insights and can work better and get more done. Because sometimes when you work 10 and 12 hours a day, you know, all at once, you lose your sharpness. And taking some time to get some fresh air, fresh thoughts, you know, have a granola bar or have a conversation with somebody who's dear, or make that phone call to somebody who's really on your mind. I just did that last night. I knew that there was someone who hadn't been feeling well, and I called her and said, you know, how's it going? And she said, well, I'm better. I'm not as better as I wish I were, but I'm better. And then as the conversation went on, we decided, you know, it really is time for us to, the four of us to get together for dinner, and that's what we're going to be doing. If I hadn't called, we wouldn't have done that. And so sometimes it takes just 3 minutes to improve your day. Make a phone call.
Yeah, it seems so easy, and so many people have such a difficult time doing that. You know, we bring so much baggage up to the line, it's like we're waiting for this train to change, and it doesn't, you know?
Well, part of it is that and we all do it, texting is a wonderful way, for example, to say I love you, which is what you were doing with your with your children. It's not a way to have a long conversation. Email is not a way to have, you know, get deep things taken care of. Email is great for things like bylaws and, you know, setting a time, let's get together. But communication is 7% words. It's only 7% words. And then it's about 38% tone of voice. And the rest of it is body language. Well, you just don't get that in texting and Twitter and Facebook exactly.
Right.
So there's some sort of warm way we need to be in touch with each other, and you know, back to the awareness and back to being in touch. One of the things that was fun, and as you said, about the book, which is a workbook, which is kind of interesting because it is on it is ebook and it is Kindle and it is on audiobooks too. People learn all different ways, but we developed what we call a Renewometer, and that which is actually online also, because renewnow.org is the website. It's renewnow, all one word, .org, and you can take the Renewometer, which is 10 questions. And you can score yourself, and it always makes me smile because it's the first step in awareness. It's about laughing, and it's about getting together, and it's about taking risks and taking care of yourself. And it's a way of kind of getting activated, and it's just a way of doing an appraisal of yourself, again, of, you know, how are things going. And so I would hope that people would take a few minutes. And you can do it sometimes as a family, and you can do it as a group. You don't have to give away deep, dark secrets. It's not about that. It's much more about, how's my life going these days? That's the real question. And then what can I do about it?
Well, I also find, too, that a lot of this, lately anyway, a lot of people don't have health care coverage. Their health is going and starting to tank and going into the toilet, and they don't have money. So when they do get diagnosed, they're pretty sick and pretty far along the way. And then there's a whole lot of guilt and sorrow and grief. And that brings a lot of fatigue with the entire family. And, you know, that's a paradigm that you get into where, you know, it's sort of like a spinning wheel. It can really bring a lot of people down if you don't have some stronger people in there that are able to support each other.
Well, one thing that I've heard and listened to, listening is such an important part of life, is there are different kinds of danger signals. And you're absolutely right, no surprise, that if one person isn't doing well, or two or three, it does kind of spread throughout. It could be a neighborhood, or it could be, again, a family or next door neighbors or friendships and so forth. And so one of the things that we found is it's really good to know what some of the warning signs are, because it can be in your body, and it can be in your spirits, and it can be in your attitude. It can be in your relationships. So some of the physical warning signs could be aches and pains. It could be headaches. It could be backaches. It could be belly aches. One of the big ones is people who have troubles with sleeping, either too much or too little, can't get to sleep, wake up early. And again, some of that can be actually from clinical depression that needs to be taken care of, in my view, medically and with appropriate measures and medication and so forth. But sometimes people, you eat in bed and you get crumbs in the sheets, for heaven's sakes. Well, that's going to interfere with your sleep. And one of the worst things you can do is to watch a murder mystery or to watch the 11 o'clock news. What's that for? Before you go to sleep? No kidding. Somebody's house is burning down. Somebody got murdered. Somebody got... What? That's not how you get a good night's sleep. So all those, there, again, once you're aware of some of the signals, then you can do something about it. Some of the emotional warning signs are you get grumpy or you get absent-minded. You say, where are those keys? Or you're late all the time. Or you want to get through something. And this happens with attorneys and teachers and doctors and nurses. They just want to zip, zip, get through the job, not because they're getting pleasure out of it, because they want to get it over. That's a warning signal of trouble. That is trouble. And the other part is in relationships is, friends stop calling you. You're no fun anymore. Why would people invite you somewhere if you're just, no fun, or if you're grumpy, or if you get angry all the time? Sometimes people stop asking your ideas anymore because you don't have any good ideas anymore, because you're not creative anymore, because you're tired. So all of those are basically your can-do becomes your can't-do. And you want it the other way around. You want to be able to do things, to think things, to feel things. And so being aware of how things are going in all of those areas can kind of get you starting back on track.
And I think a lot of people have things that stop them from making changes. In other words, great, I should change something and maybe I'll feel better, but I don't want to put in the effort. Where am I'm comfortable where I am, and who cares if it doesn't work, or who cares if it doesn't work for them? But really, there's a lot of just simple barriers that they can find out and maybe decide what is important and what isn't.
Absolutely. And when you know your values, you can start sorting through that. There are plenty of people who have, let's say, changed careers or have lost jobs, and you have to look and look and look and look to try to get the next job. There almost always is some time to volunteer with somebody who's worse off than you are, whether it's in a nursing home or it's a kindergarten with a child who may have a different language or has trouble learning or has trouble seeing or has trouble hearing. There are almost always, when you look around, somebody who could get some help from you, no matter how you're scraping along. And to get out of the house or to get up and out, to learn something new, can make just a huge difference, because you start filling your own energy bucket when you're serving others. Not too busy. I'm not talking about getting too busy. I'm talking about reaching beyond yourself and having meaning in your life beyond yourself.
Well, I think a lot of people think it has to be a big deal. I'm going to sign up for this. I'm going to go do something that everybody else in the neighborhood is doing, or maybe I'll get a photo op out of it. You know how that kind of idea goes, and a lot of people do clamor towards that. But I can tell you, for myself, we live in an apartment community. And the woman, there's a woman that walks around, and she walks around very slowly about 4 or 5 times a day in her robe and, you know, outside. And I'm like, okay, so I'll just let this pass. And then I kind of got curious after a few months of this. And I ran into her when I was walking, and she said, you know, I really had trouble with my last apartment because, you know, they broke in. So really what was happening is that she had had some, probably had a huge effect on her, and, you know, she had not been out of the house for so long, but now she was going to start walking around. She says, I know people think I'm crazy wearing this robe, but clothes just bother me, and I just wanted to walk, you know, like maybe for 2 minutes and then go back in. So this was a woman that was reaching out, but she was trying to get out of her spot. And she eventually did, and things started to work. But she took that, you know, she realized she had barriers, and she started to take some steps. So that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that really can make changes, and there's a lot of people that really can't.
Well, and what a lovely thing for you to do, to take the chance. It's a little risky, you know,
yeah,
to see someone who's different. But I am sure you were, if she were keeping that list of wonderful things, you were her wonderful thing that day. And it might give her courage to go out, you know, again. And you might, if you see, which you, I'm sure you did, say hello
mm-hmm.
again.
Right.
And it becomes, there are some things that are kind of quick fixes in this. I mean, we do look for quick fixes, but they're the kind of quick fixes that we may not think a lot about. It's to smile at someone. It's to stretch. It's to get the kinks out. I mean, stretch your body. It's to take 2 or 3 deep breaths. You know, when you notice that your shoulders are up around your ears, you know that you're tense. So you say, crank down those shoulders. Take about 3 deep breaths. Let out the bad whatevers and bring in some fresh oxygen. You can look at a picture on your desk or in your bedroom or in your kitchen that makes you smile, that takes you to a pleasant place. So even during tough days, and I don't mean to be simple about it, I just mean that we do have resilience. We do have ways that we can bounce back, and it may be making that phone call that we've been feeling guilty about. It may be looking at the picture. It may be playing canasta, you know, with somebody who's 80 years old. It may be, as I'd mentioned, you know, reading a book for 20 minutes. And I didn't have that idea. Actually, I was talking with a woman who has a very, very busy life, and she said, I'm like Velcro. When I walk through the front door, the cat jumps on me, the dog jumps on me, and my 3 kids jump on me. I'm just,
right.
And she said, I have to, but I want to be able to kind of decompress. So she said, I find a safe place to park on my way home. I park there for 20 minutes. I read my book. Nobody knows where I am. I read my book, and I go home, and I'm fresh.
Wow.
So we can think of these things as we're reflecting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what she knows what fills her energy bucket is reading a book. Well, it may be something else for each of us, and it may not take very much time to do it.
Well, you know, you also talk about diet and exercise in the book.
Yeah.
Can you share a few tips?
Well, I think one thing is to think about how you looked when you were in high school. Now, if you were chunky in high school, you may have gotten less chunky since then, but you might have gotten more chunky. It's for sure, if you put on a pound a year, just think, you know, you're going to, and sometimes it's 3 pounds over the Christmas and you only lose 2 pounds of it. We all have to kind of look at ourselves and see what kind of shape we're in and, you know, what our blood pressure is, et cetera, et cetera. And it turns out that by doing some of those measurements, even if you lose 10 pounds, your blood pressure is likely to come down. Oh, my goodness. And that's 10 pounds. That's not 50 or 70 pounds. So there's some little things that we can do for ourselves, not that it's easy to lose weight. But the whole there are several things. One is we know we need to exercise. I personally hate to exercise, hate it, and I look funny when I do it, and people tell me to sit down, and I'm happy to do that. So I have to trick myself into it. So I go for walks with friends. Mm-hmm. And I, when I started doing this and lost 25 pounds, I started noticing the wildflowers, and then I started counting them, and I turned out I learned a lot about wildflowers, and then on and on. But it had to be a trick to keep me doing it. And now it's with friends. And we go up and down hills, and we're talking so much, we don't mind it so much. So you have to trick yourself into something that will sustain yourself. And it could be bicycle riding. Oh, you say you have a 9-year-old? Well, why don't we go bicycle riding together? And that becomes a win-win. In terms of food, it basically is the more colorful, the better. yes, there's some nutrition, micronutrients in mushrooms. There's you got a lot going with in radicchio and carrots and beets and so forth. So the more color the better. We know we need protein. We know we need calcium. And I would say pay attention to the labels. And again, you're the real expert in all this. And I would just say pay attention to the labels about how much sodium is it. I got a package of pretzels. This was not too long ago. It was there are airlines that still have them. And V8 juice, if some of these, unless it's low sodium, and some of them are now low sodium, they have one little packet has 20% of your sodium per day. So you have to read the labels. And you have to watch out. And I would say there are some supplements and herbs that interact with medications that you need to take. And for some people, for example, who may be on anticoagulants because of arrhythmias or blood clots, you need to know that ginseng will interact with that in a way that make you more likely to bleed. Ginger will do the same thing. Ginkgo biloba will do the same thing. You have to know about interactions that can do you harm.
You know, so many people are trying to start to eat fruits and vegetables, and they say, well, I'll try this, and they don't even think about those interactions. And you may be taking something like antidepressants, or you may be taking some other medications for sleep, and those will interact with fruits and vegetables. I mean, I caution people. My key is, if you're going to a pharmacy and you're bringing out one of those little yellow cap bottles, I don't care what's in it, you need to know the ones that you will react with. In other words, if you put down a column and you say there's 10 things here that react with most medications, the answer is just get those 10 things out. Because if you even think about those 10 things and you say, well, I can take this with this, but maybe I'll take it this with this, or maybe that blocks that, you are so messed up and confused. Yep. The answer is just make your life easier. Just don't do them, like grapefruit.
Exactly.
Is there any reason for grapefruit? Why don't you just go to the oranges, Just don't do it. Because if you change medications or you change dosages or something else happens, you may not even think about it again. You may have thought it when you initially got the prescription, but you're not going to think about it again when something has changed. And so many times, grapefruit is one and kale is another one. I mean, everybody's thinking about, I'm going to start doing green drinks. Well, these green drinks, there's things in there that can react with the blood thinning medication. It's like, maybe not. I'm not a kale person. So,
I think that's absolutely right. And your advice is so good because it says simplify.
Right.
And the one way to simplify is you just don't even have it in the house. And
right.
If cookies are your downfall, well, then you just don't buy them. And I was talking with actually some medical students the other day. I was teaching, and they said that this fellow with diabetes knows that he shouldn't have candy, and he gets drawn like a magnet, though, to the candy shelf at the grocery store. And so the student was working with him, about how do you just don't go buy the candy shelf. So, one way is, you make a list of things, and that's the only thing that you're allowed to buy at the grocery store. And candy isn't on it. So we often have to trick ourselves, but there's pleasure in that when we're tricking ourselves to do a good thing. Let's be our best selves, not our worst selves.
Well, you know, the way I found around that is that there's a certain aisle in the grocery store that is always made out to not have candy because it's usually called the kids aisle.
Uh-huh.
And most grocery stores have aisles that do not have that.
Uh-huh.
And you can always find those. That's number one. Number two is you buy Halloween candy. The reason why is because it's small pieces.
Uh-huh.
And then the third thing you do is you put it in the freezer.
Yeah.
Because by the time that thing defrosts, it may have passed and you may not even notice. You're not going to quick grab because you're going to open it instantly like, you know, an addict. You're going to have to wait because it's frozen. You're going to put it on the counter and you're going to have to wait.
Well,
and
for
you
one
can
thing,
think
it
about
it. Taste is good. I must admit that I have been known to do that, but
yeah.
It just doesn't taste as good frozen. So then you do wait, and again, the impulse might be gone by then.
Right.
So it definitely know thyself, which is way back Greek advice as well.
Well, how can they find out more about the program? And so definitely I recommend the book, The Fatigue Prescription. And where can they find the book and more about everything you have to offer?
Well, thank you for asking, and thank you again for having me, because we do have a good time. The book is The Fatigue Prescription, 4 Steps to Renewing Your Energy, Health, and Life. You can get it at your bookstore. You can order it from your bookstore. It's at independent bookstores. It's on Amazon. It's everywhere. There is a Kindle form. There's an ebook form. It's audio. There's an audible.com as well. The Renew website is renewnow.org, where, again, you can see what our programs are. We give keynotes and workshops and seminars all over the country. And also, the book has its own website, which is The Fatigue Prescription, all one word, thefatigueprescription.com, where there's more information. And again, the Renewometer is on the website of renewnow.org. So you can do it yourself. You can download it. You can use it with your friends and family. You can do it at work and get started and have a simple, serene holiday. And one way of doing that is by saying no, N-O, more often than usual so you don't get yourself frazzled.
Well, you know, so many times, too, people are expecting instant results. I can tell you that if you sat down, this is not a book that you're going to read from cover to cover and say, okay, good, I got it, and I'm on that. This is definitely something that takes a little bit more time. And so how would you talk about time? What can they expect? Or what can an idea of how they should work through this?
Well, I think that you're right on target. There are stories in it. There are quotations. There are thoughts and ideas. And the first idea is to, as one does in health, is you make a diagnosis. Is how is my life going? And then the rest of the book is about treatment. So first it's diagnosis and then treatment. And so you can go through the index and you can do it section by section. And the idea of going back and forth, I have a person in my life who's read this 3 or 4 times and has different colored kind of tabs because she wants to remember what she said back then,
right,
and see if there's been any change. So it's things like, how do you get in shape? What do you really want? There's about fitness. There's about fatigue. There's about talking about spirituality and religion and talking about attitudes. Because of all the things you can choose your attitude. It is the thing that is yours. You can choose your attitude. You can choose your aspirations. You can choose your behavior on a good day. That's what you can choose. Everything else is kind of around you that you may not have a whole lot of control over. You can choose if you're going to find something wonderful. You can choose if you're going to smile. You can choose if you're going to help somebody. And that's all in your attitude and in your values. So going through the book section by section and, you know, kind of going back and forth, it isn't just a quick zip, you're right. It's more like a symphony. And it has some rests in it, too, and it has some very nice nice spots, too.
And I definitely, yesterday, actually, they said about BP and all of its fines and everything for all the people that were affected with the oil spill. And don't you know, today we had another oil rig explosion. So I think, you know, a lot of people need to realize that when they say, oh, I have terrible fatigue, you may not realize, but you may have been exposed to something. You may be in an area where there's a lot of things going on. You may be in an area where your whole life is affected in different ways. And this is a great step, but just also recognize you may need extra help in addition to this. You know, so if you do have something catastrophic going on in your area, or if you've been exposed to chemicals or pesticides, or your diet isn't right, or you start noticing, you know, some things just don't seem right these days, you really need to get medical help also. You know, that's very, very important.
I think it's absolutely true. Yeah, we have to know ourselves well enough to know and not be too proud to get help. We cannot fix everything by ourselves. Even doctors can't.
That's why doctors are still patients.
That's it.
Where if they think that, you know, I think everybody has this assumption that physicians are going to be perfect because they know better. But physicians can still get sick because they're human.
Well, and that's the good news. Actually, we
you know?
Are human. It means that we can heal. It means that we can listen. We can learn. And, you know, step by step, we can get better, and it's often with help. I think about redwood trees. We live in an area with redwood trees. The way redwood trees stand up is they lean on each other. You see, they have very shallow roots, and they you never see a single redwood tree. It can't make it. They lean on each other, and that's what we need to do, too. And that's okay.
That sounds absolutely wonderful. So, Dr. Cleaver, sorry, Cleaver, I did it again. Sorry, Clever. I'm
okay.
So sorry. We had to have a little bit. I knew I was going to do it. I tried.
It's all right. It happens
a
lot.
Oh, goodness. Dr. Linda.
That's fair enough. Or you can just say Linda. That's fine.
Yes. Thank you so much for being our guest today. If you could just give us just your website and mm-hmm. any connection information, and that would be great.
You bet. It's www.renewnow.org, all one word, renewnow.org, or the fatigue prescription, all one word, .com, so thefatigueprescription.com. That'll get you to us. We've got a juggler's mailbox that you can write in. I love to be in touch with people, and so please do write in. Buy the book. Give it for Christmas. It is a great, it's kind of like New Year, New You. It's a wonderful thing to give to somebody you care about. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
I loved it. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. So if anybody would like more information, the link for Dr. Linda is on the page show description. And if you have any other further questions, you can also email me at outoftheboxhealthcare.com on the Contact Us page, and I'll be happy to forward your information to Dr. Linda if it's a question you may need help with. Thank you so much for being with us, and until tomorrow, have a wonderful day.